Joe, I've lost control already, and we're not even hour number one's not even we're not even close to being in the books with that yet. But we're gonna hang on here and see if we can keep her between the lines. I thought Rod Holloway would be my recalibration, but it's not. So I'm hoping it's going to be you. And the Bloomington South Panthers, they kept on track on Friday night. It started off with a trick play, but that might have been the smelling salts that Terre Haute North didn't want to give Bloomington South, because, Joe, it didn't get any better from there. And the South Panthers are back-to-back sectional champions for the first time in some time, and that means regional football coming up on this weekend.
Well, turnovers resulting in points. Points coming in a flurry during a four-and-a-half-minute stretch of the second quarterback on Friday night. And the third-ranked South Panthers, Mo Moriarty, hosting that sectional trophy postgame, finishing off its 11th straight win, 35-7 over Terre Haute North, as sophomore quarterback Gavin Yeske threw for two and scampered 45 yards for a third touchdown, leading the rushers with 78 yards in getting this one in the win books. The sophomore also went over the 2,000-yard passing mark, going 10 of 17 on the night, as the Panthers now shoot for regional title number 10 Friday night down at Castle Stadium and the Castle Knights. And like the scenario this past week, it's first back-to-back regional in 16 years, hopefully. Game time here will be 7 o'clock with Chalk Talk. John Callahan, Dave Novak will handle the call at 7:30 from Castle Stadium. Panthers forced two turnovers back on Friday night, resulting in 14 points. Josiah Crane fumble recovery and a Zach Peterson interception, his first of the year. That pick, South's 20th of the year. South scored three touchdowns in a 4:34 span of the second quarter to break open a 7-7 ball game to lead 28-7 at half. Sophomore running back Christian Paycheck scored twice, giving him 14 on the year. He needs now 38 yards this Friday night for a 1,000-yard season. And Panthers found time to block a field goal from senior nose Devin Buckman as the South defense and the special teams blanked the Patriots after giving up a 73-yard touchdown bomb that tied the game at 7 at the 3.5-minute mark of the opening quarter, but then zeros the rest of the way. Doug Hertz, the Knights, by the way, have won their last four. They're 7-4 on the year. They average 38 points a game. They put Bedford North Lawrence out 49-13, handing Castle its 11th sectional crown and its first in 3 years. Well, high school girls hoops got its first weekend. The books, at least for Edgewood and Bloomington North, the Cougars debuted under new head man Jason Spear. North 0-2 after losses to Greenwood and Decatur Central. Gary Sims, now in his ninth year out in Edgewood, the Mustangs are 2-1 as they start a brand new week, losing its first on the of the year Saturday night to Greencastle after season opening wins over West Vigo and South Vermilion. Edgewood will play at South. Larry Winter's 17th season as head man of the girls as South opens things Tuesday night, hosting the Mustangs on the home court at 7:30. Don't forget In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6, followed by In the Red Zone up until coverage of our Monday night game. Bears will look for their third tonight. They're out on the left coast taking on the San Diego Chargers in the Monday night football headliner kickoff at 8:30 here on the airwaves.
There we go, Joe. And again, two teams spinning their wheels on Monday night football. We got plenty to do before we get to the Monday night football. Colts, great win yesterday.
Yeah,
great win going into a bye. We'll see the injury report a little bit later. I think they're going to lose at least two defensive starters. Mike Adams' ankle didn't look all that fun. And Henry Anderson, being helped off there, the defensive lineman rookie from Stanford who's had a great year going on. They got to Peyton Manning. They bothered him. Darius Butler made the play of the game with an interception under 5 minutes to go. And, boy, the Broncos, I guess, didn't want Peyton Manning to have the ball again, Joe.
Well, I guess they didn't, the way they fooled around. And that was stupidity on their part. But thank you very much. We'll take it. And hopefully, as you mentioned, this is a nice signature win to hopefully turn things around and get back and post a few in a row here.
Colts take the best defense in the league and rush for over 100 yards, 120. They had no fumbles. their quarterback had no interceptions, and the maligned offensive line against the sack masters, only one sack yesterday, Joe, and that's the most points anybody has put up on the Broncos this season. Kansas City had 24 on them, I believe, opening week, and that was it. So too many positives to check off. Some things the Colts obviously need to work on, but we'll worry about those. They got 2 weeks to get those figured out. Hoosier Hoops in action tonight is exhibition game number 2 at the Assembly Hall as Bellarmine comes to town there. The women yesterday, Joe, put on a clinic. My goodness.
Yeah, they snuffed out Slippery Rock, didn't they? Boy, 18% shooting and beat them by a ton, held them to under 40 points, nearly scored 100, four in double figures. Tyra Buss, she told us she likes that point guard spot. Evidently, she does. 31 points.
Keep her there. Wow. Keep her there. And you got a big show coming back at Yogi's. We missed it last week because of the first men's basketball opener, but we'll get it kicked off tomorrow night live at the corner of 10th and Indiana.
Well, we'll be there. We still have some things, some loose ends, but we'll be on.
Perfect. Well, that's good. We just want to remind everybody that you're back in action, and we'll have the details coming up for you a little bit, if not tomorrow morning, for sure.
All righty, sounds good.
We'll get caught up coming back at 8:45. We'll talk about that basketball victory. We'll talk about IU soccer victory and what they've got coming up for it, and a big week of basketball for the men as well.
Yep, a busy week, no question. Busy day, a little pace and balance for the old man.
Exactly right. We'll rev you up at 8:45. How's that sound?
All righty. We'll
all right,
be
Joe
here.
Smith. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
How are we doing, Glad?
Yeah, you know what? I got up on the right side of the bed today. I was early. I was excited, and it's been just a train wreck since I've walked in the door. So I'm glad you're here to support me in my time of need, and we'll do better. We're going to finish with a bang.
I can
promise you that.
Sun's out.
Well, the Colts won. That put me in a good mood. That got me fired up. Sunday was a good day. That was good. The Colts played well. They go into their bye week on a healthy, well, not a healthy note, a happy note with the victory there. We'll watch that injury report later. And that was after my Hoosiers took care of business in the quarterfinals. Todd Yagley and his gang. Joe, the back door has been locked, and they've hidden the key, and that's been the key to their success in this 9-1-1 streak. The semifinals are in Columbus starting on Friday, and the reason they're going is because of yesterday's performance.
Well, it's on to the Big Ten Soccer semifinals Friday at Ohio State for Todd Yagley's Red Hot Hoosiers, 9-1-1 over its last 11, 5 in a row. This is the longest winning streak in 3 years. And yesterday, its ninth shutout win on the year, 1-0 over Wisconsin. They just played them back on Halloween, beat them by the same score at the same venue, the Yagley pitch out at Armstrong. Senior captain Femi Hollinger-Jansen's lone goal in the 22nd minute stood up yesterday as the defense proved sealed tied again. As a matter of fact now, during this run of play, Indiana's allowed only 2 goals in 5 games. They did the same thing 3 years ago en route to winning it all, the national championship. Its focus now is win the Big Ten tourney title as the 2 seed, and the next step will be Friday against 3-seeded Maryland in the semifinals, or at least one of them, at Ohio State. Elsewhere, the basketball Hoosiers of Tom Crean wind up its 2-game exhibition season tonight against Division II Bellarmine, coming in from the Great Lakes Valley Conference, 7 o'clock tonight on the McCracken Court, facing, well, a bigger, more physical unit than Ottawa last week. The Knights made the Final Four in Division II last year, have lost exhibitions to Louisville, and Cincinnati beat them 80-61 back on Saturday. The Knights can go as big as 6'10", 6'10", 6'9", across the front, but they've shot only 33% total in its first 2 exhibition games and losses. And remember, Indiana held Ottawa at only 20% shooting the second half the other night, breaking open a 6-point ball game and turning that one into a rout. So we'll see how Coach Tom approaches this one tonight when we toss it up. The Hoosiers open for real Friday night, hosting Eastern Illinois at 7 o'clock. Meanwhile, on the McCracken Court Sunday, Terry Morin's women all over Slippery Rock, 98-33, its lone exhibition game of the preseason. They held the Rock to 18% shooting and only 14 second-half points. Carly McBride off the bench with 20 points and 7 rebounds. Had not one but 2 double-doubles. Amanda Cahill, 14 and 12. Alexis Gassian had 12 points, 11 rebounds. And new point guard Tyra Buss broke through with 31 points from out back, 7 rebounds. Tyra, 9 of 13 shooting. Indiana's women will open at noon on Friday, the preseason NIT. They'll be hosting Tennessee State. Elsewhere, sophomore Raheel Manji won the singles championship down at the Wake Forest Invitational yesterday. He had a great weekend, won them all, 4-0, and the best of luck out to former North Cougar and junior Matthew McCoy, who's playing in the Big Ten indoor semifinals later today out in Iowa City. Matt's having a great tournament. In the Kahanapali tournament, on the links over in beautiful Maui, Mike Mayer's golfers finished 14th. They had a final round 3:05 on Sunday. Juniors Keegan Paya and Andrew Havel, Indiana's top two golfers, they were T36 and finished 220 overall. Back to tennis for a second. Lynn Loring's duo of Kim Schmitter and Sarah Barron won the doubles draw as the Hoosier doubles team. They had a perfect stay up in Kalamazoo, Michigan over the weekend as Kim and Sarah take care of business in the doubles, finally going 6-0 there. The IU volleyballers ran into a buzzsaw in 8th-ranked Nebraska, who beat them at UGM on Saturday in 3 games. Amelia Anderson led the Hoosiers with 13 kills. In the pool down in Auburn, Alabama, the Indiana women, they're, 5th-ranked, and Ray Luz's fellas are right up there too, number 9 in the country. Between them, they won 12 events, but Auburn had the depth and knocked off Indiana in a sweep down in Alabama on Saturday. Gia D'Alessandro won 3 events, and Lily King won 2 for the women. And the men, led by Blake Peroni, who was the Big Ten Swimmer of the Week last week, he won a pair of events to lead the men, claiming the 100 free and the 200 free. But again, both of Indiana's swimming and diving teams ranked among the top 10 here early in the season. Elsewhere on the mats, Elijah Oliver, along with Devin Shatska and Nate Jackson, they earned runner-up finishes for Dwayne Goldman's Grapplers over the weekend at the Eastern Michigan Open. Oliver won his first 3 matches. He's wrestling at 125 by major decision, and Shatska had a couple of pins, and Jackson had a pin in a major decision, wrestling at 174 pounds. Well, certainly no rest for the weary, and the football Hoosiers still searching for that elusive win 1 in the Big Ten. Saturday game time set for 3:30 as 15th-ranked Michigan comes in. They bring in Jim Harbaugh in his first year. They also bring in the second-ranked total defensive bunch into town, allowing only 240 yards, not to mention its 7-2 record and 4-1 in the Big Ten. Hoosiers again had a quiet second half and fourth quarter, only 5.5 minutes of possession time in the final 15 minutes. Three and outs 3 times, really, in the final 5 possessions. Enough said there. Drop passes along the way. That negated what Jordan Howard was able to do, knocking the rust off following the bye week, and boom, here he is with 174 yards and 2 touchdowns. But unfortunately, the production offensively fell off. It couldn't be sustained in the second half, and the Iowa Hawkeyes prevailed 35-27. The third quarter was scoreless, and the fourth quarter not much better, although Indiana did break through to make it an 8-point ball game there in the final couple of minutes. So it will be seniors today. They'll play their final home game against the Michigan Wolverines at the Rock. Again, the kickoff set for 3:30. A busy, busy Hoosier sports capsule. Well, elsewhere in the zone, David Glass and your phone calls to continue a brand new week. And to recap what went on, they'll start conversation along with your calls at 6 o'clock tonight, followed, of course, by In the Red Zone. It is a Monday. Means Monday night football on the airwaves. San Diego hosting the Bears. Both teams looking for their third win. Only one will get it tonight. Kickoff on the airwaves around the 8:30 hour.
Joe, the good news, bad news for the Hoosiers, it's close, but it's not close enough in getting over the hump.
No.
Iowa had not given up more than 24 points in a game throughout its first 8, and Indiana got 27. Indiana also had, 220-something yards rushing? against one of the top, what, five rushing defenses in the country?
Well, coming in, they had allowed only 86 on the average. I mean,
there's angles here. It's why is it the fourth quarter that they can't get over the hump, I guess would be the main thing. But we did see plays. There was at least a half a dozen drop balls at key times.
That hurt.
When you've got third and 10 and the ball's in your hands, not extending out, not reaching up, high, down, low, it's in your breadbasket, nothing but green turf in front of you, you got to make those plays. And I'm not going to pick on the kid that did it because he was one of many that just didn't make them. And little things add up to become big things, and that's why the Hoosiers are playing well but not winning. There is a difference, and that is not a homer statement. Indiana is not playing terrible football. They're not playing perfect football. Iowa is at a stage in their lifespan where they don't have to play perfect to win because they're at a different level.
Correct.
Indiana has to win to get to that level before that can happen.
Well, you know, like I said, too, the three and outs in the last five possessions in a ball game that was tight. I mean, Indiana had the lead late in the second quarter, went down, still trailed by only 13 minutes plus in the third quarter in a 1-point ball game. And again,
You're not making plays. That's it. The defense sometimes.
They just can't find a sustaining any kind of – it's just so disjointed, and it's really affecting the productivity offensively. It's too bad, but that's the way it's been. But it can be fixed. I mean, come on. It could be fixed. I mean, there's three games and still lots to play for here, despite the fact the last two are on the road. So this would obviously, like it would have been last week, a big signature game to beat a very, very good, sound football club in Michigan.
3:30 on Saturday. The other side of the ball as well, Indiana giving up third and long like it's second and two.
Well,
that again, if you do those things, your defense
this is something that's been season-long.
It is, but your defense is doing something to get in third and long, so that tells me they're doing something okay. But again, they're not finishing. They're not finishing games. They're not finishing drives. They're not finishing plays. And that's the next step. And they only have three steps left, Joe, and they've got to win two out of three if they'd like to take the next step, which is the most important one, is getting 15 extra December practices. The bowl game result is not the problem. It's the practices leading up to it that they don't get if they don't get to that spot. And that's, remember, 4 years not going to a bowl, that's 60 practices, you're out.
Yeah.
And those are the numbers that make sense. Pacers fall to Cleveland in Cleveland. The good news for Pacer fans, Paul George and Monte Ellis finally look like they've found their shooting boots there. They had 57 between them of the 97, but they went cold late in the fourth quarter. Cleveland comes back to win that game. If you didn't stay up late last night, in overtime, Philadelphia beats Dallas 33-27. Sam Bradford hits Jordan Matthews for a 41-yarder in overtime to settle that. Boy, I was watching that with one eye open, Joe. I couldn't keep it up and going there. And don't forget, IU and Bellarmine tonight, 7 o'clock, the Assembly Hall, is a BTN Plus game, which is internet broadband streaming service only. It will not be shown on your television cable package. But the good news, Joe, Friday night's game will, as Eastern Illinois comes to town and the Hoosiers and Eastern Illinois, 7 o'clock, Big Ten Network. Heck, you just leave on Indiana's semifinal game against Maryland. They'll take you into the pregame show, and boom, you don't have to turn the channel on Friday.
You know, I've got it listed, though, and we've got late word that opener is Big Ten BTN Plus.
Which Big Ten opener?
Eastern Illinois.
Really? I thought I read in the notes last night that it's the Big Ten Network national television. I'm almost positive that it is that. We will look that up, and I will get back to you on that. What happened to Joey Logano? I was paying attention to the NASCAR, and then I saw he's what happened?
Blew a tire. That's what happened.
So last week a guy wrecks him.
Yeah.
And this week,
and all of a sudden he needs to win to get in the final four. I mean, there's points there available to him, and four other drivers, the only driver safe, Jimmy Johnson won yesterday, but he's already been eliminated from the chase. Jeff Gordon's the only one that has locked down the final four spots for Homestead in 2 weeks. They go out to Phoenix this weekend, and now it's win, baby. Joey Logano has to secure his spot because of the last 2 weeks all of a sudden, but Kyle Busch is still very much alive. Kevin Harvick, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex Jr. So those are some of the drivers that have a lot to race for, in addition to Logano on on Sunday out of Phoenix.
Joe, you're absolutely...
bad piece of racing luck.
Yeah. You are absolutely right. The Eastern Illinois game on Friday is BTN Plus, so you will need your internet today and Friday. Monday's game against Austin Peay, that is the...
Big Ten Network.
That is Big Ten Network. So a week from today, you're on TV, you're on the internet today and Friday. Smitty, great job as always. Thanks
all
for getting
righty,
me settled up on all of that. And we will get caught up with you tomorrow morning live as well, the morning after IU basketball.
Look forward to
all right,
it.
Sounds good, buddy. Joe Smith.
All righty.